kind of explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're also going to take time to have go through some typical objections, which I have them all in here. Obviously, some of these may not apply, but they're there for some reference, and then some questions and answers. At the end, if there are people here who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you would like to be, we're going to just spend some time in prayer. We'll probably go in the other room in there and just be able to, you know, kneel down, maybe have a little bit of worship and pray that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have every expectation that if you came with that desire that today, you will. I believe it's the will of God. It is the reason why it's important to me is I feel like this is part of the New Testament church. I mean, there's an emphasis that Jesus Christ puts on that. And if there's an emphasis that he has upon it, it's an emphasis we need to have upon it as well. There is in the church today, and well, not in the church, I just want to say in some places, almost like a de-emphasis of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there was kind of a movement, you know, a while back about the seeker-friendly or visitor-friendly type churches. And the idea was let's make the church more palatable to the unbeliever so when they come in, nothing offends them, and maybe they'll come to receive Jesus. But, you know, in doing that, a lot of times we've really almost like check the Holy Spirit at the door. You know, we don't want anything to go on for fear of something weird going on. But the fact of the matter is we want to bring judgment to whatever is being done by the Holy Spirit, and or, you know, through people, not by the Holy Spirit, but bring the judgment to the people who are being used by the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us to. But when you read through the book of Acts, if you were to go in the book of Acts and tear out every page from your Bible where the Holy Spirit had supernatural involvement and activity, the book of Acts would be very small, because he's very much involved in the life of the church. And I think contrary to the idea that, well, if we suppress or minimize or push the Holy Spirit to the side, that maybe more people will come to Jesus, I think that's counterintuitive. I mean, when you see in Samaria as a great example in the book of Acts, where signs and wonders and miracles were being done, and there was a huge revival because people were coming to Christ. I mean, I'll tell you, if you go to somebody's house and raise their dead mother from the dead, the Lord's going to do something in that family. You know, there's no doubt about it. And when Jesus sent out his 12 disciples, what did he say to them? Anybody remember? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. How would you like that for a commission? We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We as a church cannot just rest upon our own intellect. We can't rest upon our own resources. We can't rest upon our own physical abilities. I mean, while we are engaged that way, I mean, we are engaged intellectually, we are engaged physically in the work of the Lord, without the Holy Spirit, it's powerless. And so, as I think about the church and the future of our church and where the Lord's taking us, one of the things that came into my heart for this fast is that we are really preparing. What's this church going to be like in 20 years? You know, I often talk to parents about this with their children. You know, what looks cute in a 7-year-old doesn't look so cute in a 17-year-old. So what's your vision? You know, where is it going? And so when I think about the church in 10 years from now or 20 years from now, I hope that we are people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That somehow we didn't let this go by the wayside or somehow reason it out of existence. in our life. So if you're here today, I pray that if you are filled with the Spirit, praise God. If you're not, then I hope that you have an anticipation and expectation that today you will leave baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what I've been praying for, and that's what I hope you've been praying for. And let's go at it. Is anybody cold? I see people putting coats on. Maybe we can. I'm not sure what we can do. Maybe bump it up a couple degrees. Turn the fans off, or maybe you could pump the thing up maybe a couple of degrees so it's all right. Believe it or not, I left my Bible up in my office. Okay. I have all the scriptures here, but I want to have it in case I want to look at something else. All right, let's look at this page 2. What did Jesus have to say about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I love if we're trying to find out God's heart in a matter, it's always good to see what Jesus has to say about it. So let's pray together. Father, I ask you this morning to cause your word to find good soil today in our hearts. Lord, speak to us. Build our faith. Help us to understand. Lord God, give us clarity where there may be confusion. And we ask that you would move within us this morning, Lord God, to see people who need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit actually receive that today. Father, we want to be those people who are empowered by you to do your work on the earth. I ask that you would help us for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So on your notes, Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. I want you to underline the word command. And I just have on the notes there the word priority. You can just make your own comments, but I want you to see that this is a priority with Jesus Christ. And if it's a priority with Jesus, it's a priority with me. If it's a priority with Jesus, it should be a priority with you. And he says he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is now dead, buried, resurrected. He's ready to go to the Father. He's given them the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he says, before you go, something you need. Do not leave Jerusalem. Can you see with these words of Jesus the priority he puts here? That he has given them a huge task to reach the world. But he also recognizes that to do this, you need something more. You need to be empowered by my Spirit. You need to have the anointing of God upon your life. And so I'm telling you, don't go anywhere until you receive this. And here's what he says. Wait for the gift. I want you to circle the word gift. Let's talk about that for a minute. What is a gift? Okay, it's free. You didn't earn it. If I give you a gift, if I said to you, here, Sue, here's your gift. What are you going to do about it? You got to take it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. You cannot earn it. You don't say, well, one day I'll be worthy enough, or one day I'll be smart enough, or one day I'll be mature enough, or one day I'll be whatever. I mean, you fill in the blank. It is a gift. And just like salvation is a gift, we all understand that you cannot earn your salvation. We know that it's something that he purchased for us by his death on the cross. He gives us a gift of eternal life, and we know that we get that by asking. It's a free gift. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same. It is a gift. given by God, and it's something He wants you to have. Matter of fact, He, in a way, I want to say it nicely, He demands that they have it. He said, do not go anywhere until you have this. And I would like to see us as a church re-impart or have this emphasis. We talk, you know, I know that we talk about people getting saved and we talk about people getting water baptized as an emphasis. This is an emphasis we need as well. The people who are saved and baptized need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we'll go more into that later on in one of these sessions. But I want you to see that it's a priority with Jesus and it is a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift that my Father, what's that next word? Promise. Let's talk about a promise for a minute. What is a promise? Okay, it's a guarantee. If God promises something, how many of you think you can bank on it? He said, I'm going to send you a gift that my Father promised. I like that because God's saying, I'm going to give you a promise. And He's going to identify that here in a minute as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is something that God promises. It is something that He gives. And it is something that Jesus put a high priority on. You must wait until you have this. And He says here, which you have heard me speak about. You know what that tells me? That this isn't the only time Jesus talked about this with His followers. He talked about this. Whether He was planting the seed, giving them the vision, helping them to understand what God was going to do in the future, I don't know. But He said, you've heard me speak about this before. It's about to happen now. And then He said, in describing this gift, what the Father promised, He says, John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be what? Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what Jesus told His disciples. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, I'm sure that this was an exciting time for Him. He told His disciples, and I don't have these notes here, but if you want to, you should read like John 13, 14, and 15. Maybe 14, 15, and 16. Read those chapters. And you will see the excitement that's on the heart of Jesus Christ about going away. He said, I'm going to be leaving soon. And you can't go. But don't let your heart be troubled because I'm sending another comforter. And when He says the word another comforter, He's saying somebody like me. How many of you know that if Jesus came to you after spending 3.5 years with you and walking with you through all the different things and seeing all the things He did, if He said, guys, I'm leaving now and you can't follow me, wouldn't your heart be broken? Like, what are we going to do without Jesus? He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, it is good for you that I go away because if I go, I'm going to send the advocate. I'm going to send another comforter, someone who would be with you forever. He said, the works that I do shall you do also and greater than these. Why? Because I go to the Father. What is He saying? When I go to the Father, I'm sending forth this Holy Spirit, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, and many thousands of people will receive this anointing and the work of God can be multiplied manyfold throughout the world. It's good for you that I go away. Jesus is saying it's better for us to have this Holy Spirit in our life than actually walking with Jesus on the earth. It's good for you. So read those verses on your own. I want you to also turn to Acts 9, verse 17. Something else Jesus said about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is when the Apostle Paul had been knocked off his horse. You know the story. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. I believe that was his salvation at that time. And he went into the house, and the Lord sent Ananias to go and lay his hands upon him. Are you familiar with this story? So Saul's blind, and he's just there waiting. He had a vision while he's blind of a man coming to lay his hands on him. At the same time, Ananias has the Lord speak to him and say, go to this house. There's a guy there who's blind. Lay your hands on him. Look what the Lord said to him. In verse 17, Ananias went to the house and he entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and what? And be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus had that priority here. He told this guy, I want you to go over there and not just heal his eyes, I want you to see that he's filled with the Spirit as well. And so I see in this scripture another example of the priority that Jesus Christ puts on people being filled with the Spirit. Why not just let him go? He's already committed his life to Jesus. He said, who are you, Lord? What should you have me do? He got his eyes back. Why does he need anything else? Because we need that empowerment. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God in our life to do the work he's called us to do. And this is just another example that shows me the priority that Jesus Christ puts upon this aspect of Christianity. Don't just pray for his eyesight, but pray that he is filled with the Spirit. And aren't you guys glad Paul the Apostle got filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 1, verse 6 in your notes. They gathered around him and they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set for his own authority. But you will receive what? Power. You will receive, the word is power. There's another word, there's two words power in the Bible. One of them is the Greek word exousia, and another one is the Greek word dunamis. Exousia means authority. There's a scripture that says in John 3, those who received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. This means authority. You have the authority to become a son of God when you receive Jesus Christ. And this is a different word. It's the word dunamis. It's a word, we get our word dynamite from this. Explosive power. And Jesus said, you will receive dunamis when? Not at salvation. When you receive this gift. That's where the dunamis comes from. Now, I know people will say, well, how do you divide the Holy Spirit up? We'll talk about that later on. Just understand that Jesus is saying that this dunamis power that I want you to have is going to come when you receive the Holy Spirit in a few days from now. It is a gift, and it's something the Father promised, and it's something I want you to have. It's something I'm commanding you to wait for, because it's necessary for the task I've called you to do. And you will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's when it comes into our lives, and that's when it came into their life. And I believe that as a church in the last days, we need to be a dunamis church, an empowered church, a church that allows the Holy Spirit to use us, that we do the works that God's called us to do, whatever they may be, that we learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We learn to be led by the Spirit. We learn to hear the Spirit's voice, and we have the courage to step out when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Like silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand and walk. How many of you know that's dunamis? People came and put the sick in Peter's shadow. How many of you know that's dunamis? That's nothing that Peter can do. That is dunamis. When Peter spoke to the one guy and says, be blind for a season because you are resisting the grace of God, or the gospel of God for this man, that's dunamis. When Peter went in and raised the girl from the dead, that's dunamis. When Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel and signs and wonders were performed, that was dunamis. As I said before, you go through the book of Acts and you see it again and again and again. It is the work of the Spirit that is being used to reach the world. Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. The signs should be part of the work of the Lord. D-U-N-A-M-I-S.
D-U-N-A-M-I-S?
N as in Nancy. D-U-N as in Nancy. A-M as in Mary. I-S. Dune. Like, almost like dynamite. Dunamus. Yeah. So D-U-N-A-M-I-S. That's dunamis. That's the Greek word for power. This power he's mentioning here. But Jesus said, you will receive power, and you can't, you just can't say, I have power because I'm a believer. You have power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's when it happens. And then he says, you will be my witnesses. So down under the word purpose there, I want you to understand the whole reason that the Lord wants us to have this power is to be a witness for him. It's not so we can be a bunch of Holy Ghost weirdos floating around doing all kinds of charismatic things. It is specifically for the Great Commission. And we should never, ever lose sight of that. And while we're going to talk today about speaking in tongues and the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit and so on, that is not the purpose. That is a blessing and a benefit that comes as a result of that. The purpose of this is to take the gospel to the world. That is why we still need this empowerment today. We don't want to be a church that is just intellectual, just sending out fancy arguments. Paul said, I have fully proclaimed the gospel to you in word and in deed. I mean, God help us to see your Holy Spirit work more and more in our lives. There's not a whole lot we have to say if someone gets raised from the dead, other than Jesus Christ did this. Follow him. So Jesus said here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You know, we have in our church, we're trying to stir up the desire within all of us. Let's be reaching out. Let's share Christ. Let's share the gospel. Let's touch our city for Jesus. Let's touch our region for the Lord. But he tells us that the Holy Spirit, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, was given expressly that we might be a witness for him. Now, does that mean you can't share the gospel if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. But the kind of witness that he calls from the church is with signs and wonders, word and deed. Amen? So that's what Jesus had to say about it. What do you got to say? Let's go to the next page here.